Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I've been trying to put together a voice reel of all my voices. You know, the voices I do. Sure. Dribblin' Joe.
Love Dribblin' Joe.
Malcolm.
My favorite is Quieter Jordan. We're just going to talk like this.
But I was trying to put together this voice reel, and I have kind of a nasal quality. So I was trying to clear out the old passages. And I got one of these Vicks VapoRub sticks that you're supposed to, like, just mainline to the dome. And I took it out of the thing. I was trying to show my girlfriend how it worked. And I was like, this is how you do it, babe. And just fucking rock-starred one. And, like, I could taste it in my mouth.
Yeah. I've used those. And my girlfriend was also really impressed and thought I was cool for having it. I think that was your logic.
How did she feel when you
started... Hey, Nicole, check out what I'm up to.
How did she feel when you started crying as though you had pepper sprayed yourself?
Third time that day. That's her main thing she does is watch me.
I think
I remember one of that where you would rub it on your chest and let it float up to your nose.
Oh, that feels old-timey. That's like...
it feels like putting a salve. Yeah, on you or something.
It conjures to mind a number of old timey words. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
an unguent.
How do you cure the flu? Well, you sit in a chair backwards. That's part of it. Yeah. And you're like, I guess.
Go out in the hut, set some eucalyptus leaves on fire.
Smear this on the afflicted area.
If you have a sinus infection, you pray wrong. What? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's supposedly good for what ails you. I heard an even old timier remedy for the Vicks is you take a spoon of it and you dissolve it in water like a horrible, horrible medicine soup, and you breathe the fumes in.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Vicks was like probably founded by drug addicts who just missed all the cool ways to do drugs. And they're like,
you ever mainline it?
Yeah, let's just figure out different ways to do Vicks. Rub it on your gums, put it in a spoon and set it on fire.
And then rub it on your gums.
Rub the fire on your gums.
Make a 6-foot long tube with bong water. You can...
Yeah. Oh man, if you've never filled a bong with Vicks,
you've never made an apple bong Vicks.
It does feel like weird sober guy stuff. Truly. Like, it's not technically bad.
Hey, people actually get addicted to the Vicks, like to the Vicks. It's like how people get addicted to Banaca or Chapstick, you know?
Yeah. I didn't know that about Chapstick, that like if you artificially create a need for Chapstick, you will then your body, you will like crave Chapstick.
Carmex specifically. Carmex had like that. Carmex like in the yellow tube used to have like grit in it so it would cut your lips
needed it.
It was like the spice from Dune.
It's like Dasani sodium. It's like corporate shit that is like not super on its surface evil, but you're like, Jesus Christ, truly. We're just doing minor bad stuff.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's in the DNA of the
whole thing.
We're doing
D quality Soylent Green as people stuff.
Satan level hijinks. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Medicinal Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us this week, the very hilarious Will Hines is here.
Hello, everybody. My name's Will Hines.
Hello, Will. Welcome.
What a delivery. That's the best intro anyone's ever given themselves in the history mm-hmm. of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Usually someone screams it or doesn't say their name, and that was great.
Yeah. Well, I like to give all the information. I try to have conversations as if people are joining at every sentence. Like, sure. You have to reestablish context at all times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. People come into this podcast 9 minutes in for some reason.
Yeah, they start playing it. They leave the room.
Yeah.
That's why every 45 seconds I say, hey, Tom. Mm-hmm. In case mm-hmm. Tom just came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that one guy.
Yeah. So despite what we've been talking about today, this is Fight Island, and we're not talking about medicines. We're not fighting medicines. We're not fighting Toms. We are, in fact, fighting sequels. What does that mean, Jordan? What does that mean? It means we're going to take the crew, the cast, I think just the cast, of sequels. We're going to make them run.
Yeah, we're not going to fight the grips.
Yeah, yeah, because the grips get involved. The grips get involved, and then the union gets involved, and it's a whole thing.
Gray ponytails are flying.
That is a huge... On every union gig, there's an aside for $20,000 for additional gray ponytails. Yeah. You get them popped off on set all the time.
Yeah, a guy that loves to get up at 4 a.m., gray ponytail.
Sure. Those guys are not here. They'll come in and set up the fight.
Yeah.
And then they'll leave, you know?
Guys who refer to other people only by their ethnicity.
Yes.
Like, that is
yes.
the only There's way.
Like, it's like a kind of
And if
functional...
you don't have one, they'll make one up. They'll be, hey, Rhode Island, get over here. Yeah, Puerto Rico yeah, yeah. wants to see you at Crafty.
It's kind of functional racism. Yeah.
There
yeah.
is a very specific aesthetic for like in the grip electrician.
Oh, yeah. Like kind black t-shirt, preferably a band from minimum 25 years ago.
Totally.
Yeah.
You look like you are like a weird bounty hunter in the not so distant future mm-hmm. who is specifically here to save.
And everybody is hyper. Like if you have a call time at 5 a.m, yeah. the grips are already at an 11.
They've been there.
Yeah.
They've been
They're
there
ready to
already.
Argue. They want to call bullshit. That Truly. Like there's nothing a grip likes more than calling bullshit on something. It's
True.
This is the realm of libertarians and contrarians. You grow a ponytail, you get a black true. T-shirt, you just walk around and be, you know what? Speed limits are bullshit. It's like I just got
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
I got 100%. Two lines.
And guess what? They're not allowed in these fights. They're gonna have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Libertarians that are in a fantastic union. It is the funniest like contrast.
Have you seen
You become a grip because you could not work in a way where you have to stay still for any length of time. Yeah. That is an affront. Like there is no authority worth sitting still for. So you get into the grip world where yeah. you can just be walking back and forth forever.
It's like 100 hours. Degrees drinking like a thermos of hot coffee.
You can be as racist and as sexist as you want. You will rarely get called out for it. And all genders and ethnicities this applies to, although mostly white dudes. But you'll get it from anybody.
And if you do, the union will disappear you.
Yeah.
You'll be on, you know, two broke girls and you'll disappear and pop up all of a sudden on mm-hmm. the one with Kathy Bates where she's stoned. Green thumbs or something.
Don't yeah, know. Sure. Well, I'm never going to investigate what that show's called.
Yeah.
So we'll just go from there.
So we're going to be fighting
no grips.
Sequels,
no grips.
No grips, just the cast.
Mm-hmm. We'd have to be super inside to be able to argue for or against a particular set of grips. Oh, the grips on Swing Vote would have murdered the grips on Rudy.
Like,
what?
The grips on Rudy were fucking cutthroat. These dudes are animals.
The grips on Parks and Rec are cream puffs. Cream puffs.
So for any Will heads just joining us, this is the way that the game goes down. It is basically a big game of who would win in a fight between. We do
Will heads,
rounds.
You mean like fans of mine who are
yeah,
listening to your podcast just because I'm here?
Yeah, Heinz. Yeah.
If that's true, email me so I know whether to, I'm talking now to the Will heads. Email me so that I, one, know you exist, two, can get a kind of a approximation of your numbers and decide if I should finally start a Patreon. Be the last Patreon to start.
pay you to hear you on other podcasts. I think that's genius. Yes.
You join my Patreon. What I'll do is I'll email you a list of all the podcasts I'm on so that you don't have to keep track of it.
That's the have a friend with a boat of Patreons. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to have to be more hands-on than that. I think you're going to have to record your appearances on like a mixtape every month and mail it to people.
Like compile it?
Exactly.
Yeah, like a
just like a like record CD. Labels would have samplers of all their
for like a monthly
best artists.
Will's
okay,
appearances.
Yeah. Here's Will's podcast sampler for July 2021.
That's a sample supply.
Yeah, tell
off.
The Willheads what's going on. They follow me everywhere. They don't know who you guys are.
I
what's
see out there? I see they're at my front door right now trying
that's
to get
crazy.
In. You go,
that's
Will
crazy.
You go, Will. He's on the internet. Calm down.
Wow, I am such a medium energy, non passionate, zero point of view guy to inspire. Such passionate
they
fans.
They go nuts. They go nuts. They love it.
There's a lot of that kind of guy.
That's, that particular vibe. They love it. Okay, so this is how it goes down. Three rounds, lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight. They kind of go by importance in your mind. So the example that we give people is Seinfeld. Heavyweight fight is Jerry versus Elaine. Lightweight fight is Peterman versus the Soup Nazi, something like that. Mm-hmm. It is video game rules. So old people can fight gay people. Men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs
video
to happen.
Video game rules. I guess that's order. True. In video games, those fights definitely go down.
Oh, on Mortal Kombat, it's... I don't know if you've seen the most recent Mortal Kombat, it's all... But no
I just finished
bar.
Playing Red Dead Redemption 2 for the second time because I
so
am
good.
Dumb.
It's crazy. Really dumb. I'm playing Skyrim again for the if what feels like the first time, and it's like a 13-year-old game. It's crazy. It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, sequels.
Yeah.
Finally, The Island Craves Order. There must be a winner for each one. Okay. And we will discuss the strengths and weaknesses of each selection.
And then we're just going to decide. So just like we just have to honorably admit when we have lost or won or whatever. Okay.
Yes.
We vote.
We will vote at the end.
Okay.
But we'll discuss strengths and weaknesses, and we'll kind of decide on the brackets here on the pod. So
okay.
What are some lightweight ass sequels when you think of like, and for me I think a lightweight sequel is any sequel where you're like, this didn't need to happen, why? And
like
then
the whole
flopped.
I don't want this to be this one because I don't know enough about it, but like the whole other 9 yards, like, do you remember there was like the whole 9 yards and then there was like the whole other it's like, wow, that was like an okay movie, but
yeah,
I didn't need another one of it or whatever.
People were really wanted more of that, huh? Yeah. They had to have it.
I remember the whole 9 yards. I was like just the right age where I was allowed to go. I was like 12 and I was allowed to go to the movies by myself. Mm-hmm. And and I went to the whole 9 yards and we sat next to my middle school principal.
Yeah.
And then there was a part where you see boobs and he looked at me like, you should be seeing these boobs. And but then I kind of like waggled my eyes because I didn't know what to do. I just panicked. I was like, get a load of these. Yeah. Get a load of Amanda Peet.
Also, why would he look at you? What did he? What would
I just think he like
can't take the principal out of the man. He was
I was like in some like I wasn't in trouble, but his in trouble instinct.
His instinct was like, I have to set a boundary here.
He had like a phantom limb of morality of just like
principality.
Well, how about we go A Quiet Place too? Like, I feel like is that a lightweight?
I think that
Austin Powers 3 is what I was thinking.
Okay, Austin Powers 3. Okay, I will
how about
make
Zoolander
argument.
2? That feels like really did need that.
See, these are all really good. Quiet Place 2, I'm going to say, is more of a middle just because it's crushing right now.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, that was a big movie. Right.
But Austin Powers 2, any of those
kind
of
saying
like,
3, right? It's almost
three.
Like 2 was
three
justified,
is,
but 3 is like, what is it?
2, there was some demand.
What about Meet the Fockers? Was that the third one?
Ooh, Meet the Fockers.
No, Meet the Fockers
was
the second one.
Was that Little Fockers?
Yeah, I think
they
that's
made
a lightweight.
Third one where it was like,
what's the first one called?
Meet the Parents.
Fuck. Man, I was never going to get there. Fockers took over the entire idea.
Fuck.
A pretty bad
Fockers.
Joke.
Yeah. A bad joke that they ran for three movies at least. Years. I was trying to
Meet the Fockers is like, this is just Jews versus Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles just, not being able to handle each other. That is the joke of
they just the Fockers. They just couldn't call it that. They had to leave that on the cutting room floor. I don't think we can call it.
Also, Meet the Parents fully just hinges on Robert De Niro not being reasonable one time in like a full hour and a half.
So
if you just went, oh, that's kind of weird, and then you like went to bed, it's like, shut, chill out, you fucking freak.
Yeah. Ask him to
I hate movies like that.
I get really uncomfortable with movies where it's like, everybody just talk.
Yeah,
for
if
five
anybody,
minutes.
Yeah, if anybody was a human being for 2 seconds, the movie ends.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely.
That is true, though. And then we wouldn't have much of a, we'd have an even worse time here at Little Fockers.
Rom-coms would be like 30 minutes. You know, the meet cue would happen, and that is the end of the movie. They're like, we do like each other. And there we go.
They would go on a date, and it would be over. Oh, your mother's coming? That's fine. Take a week, spend your time with your mother. And then we'll put a thumb in this. We'll come right back to it.
I'm not some needy weird ass who needs to be around your mom. Like, oh, I'm not going to chase you through the airport. You're coming back. You're
or even if
moving.
Like, your mom's a bitch, but it's 3 days. That, you know, I don't care.
Did you know that they made a sequel to The Jerk?
What?
What?
I didn't know that.
Yes. It is called The Jerk 2, T-O-O. And it is some fucking guy who's definitely not Steve Martin. None of the shit stands up.
They made it
I
without
it.
They made who no, plays not the Steve Martin, Martin part?
Some guy playing Naven Johnson, who was like the next. He was like some hot new comic who they were like, he's got a bit of a Steve Martin quality. So let's make this Jerk sequel that we've been dying to get out.
Mark Blankfield is the name.
Blankfield.
That's like Jason Bateman in Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah,
they're like it's
oh
his
my
cousin.
God. Teen Wolf 2 is an incredible lightweight.
That's a lightweight.
Yeah.
Lightweight.
Teen Wolf 2, let's do it.
I love it. Teen Wolf 2 versus what are we thinking? Meet Lil Fockers?
Or Austin Powers 3. They're both very silly.
I've seen Austin Powers 3. It'll be easier for me than for Little Fockers.
Same. That's, I have not seen Little Fockers.
Locking it in.
And I've seen Teen Wolf 2.
Thank God nobody has seen Little Fockers. I hadn't either. I was just going to wing it from littlefockersfacts.net. Okay, so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between the cast of Austin Powers 3 and the cast of Teen Wolf 2?
Sorry, Jordan, did we decide it's the characters or it's the actors?
I think it's the characters.
It's got to be the characters.
It's got to be the characters, right?
Yeah, I don't want to see Jason Bateman have to fight Beyonce.
I mean, I kind of do, but
Mike Myers three times. Yeah.
She was in that one. What? Okay, remind me, refresh me on... Walk me down Austin Powers Lane, if you will.
It's Goldmember. It's that's the third one. It opens with a big like celebrity cameo thing where they're showing the movie of Austin Powers in the universe of Austin Powers, and it's like I think Tom Cruise is in it.
And, yes, he plays
in that little in that little part or whatever, and then they that's like just like a for fun, and then they settle into Beyonce and Austin Powers. Fighting Goldmember, or I guess
in like the 70s, they go to the 70s.
I barely remember it. I'm getting
it
mixed up with the spy who shagged me.
Michael Caine is in that one because he has the line where he's like, "There's two things that I hate: those who are intolerant of others' cultures and the Dutch." And that's the only line that I remember from that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's also my Michael Caine. Apparently,
no one's ever imitated him. That was amazing.
Just a light smattering of British, as though someone tossed a biscuit against
me. Yeah, he's so barely British. You know what I mean? He's so hard. You can hardly tell.
A little bit down here.
Yeah, Michael, don't be afraid to let your Britishness come out. The full name of this movie is Austin Powers in Goldmember.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. But I just remember it as Goldmember.
It's got, you got Austin Powers, you got Fat Bastard, you got Austin Powers is father.
Dr. Evil. Mini-Me.
No, Dr. Evil is not Austin Powers' father. You find out in this one
they're brothers.
That he's his brother, though, which is womp womp.
I forgot about that.
Foghorn sound, jerk-off motion.
Seth Green's character.
Oh, yeah. At the end, they set it up for his own movie where he looks like Dr. Evil, and it's like, ah, bummer. So I think that's the Seth that's coming to the fight.
Mike Myers should have made 7 more Austin Powers than anything else with than what
he did. I remember him saying when this came out, somebody in like one of those press junkets asked him, and now that I think about it, this is actually an obnoxious question, but it didn't strike me that way. They were like, how many of these are you going to do? And I remember his answer being like, I will do 1 every 2 years as long as there is an audience for it.
Hell yeah.
He was like, I love doing it.
Though. That is so much better than what he did.
He bailed. He made
in retrospect, that would rule.
He was in Cat in the Hat, and then he was in
Love Guru,
which was like him trying to launch another franchise or something. It was like, people are over Austin Powers. They're ready for Boxo Schwami or whatever.
Yeah.
Oof. The Love Guru. So bum. Such a bummer. Wow. Anyway,
didn't see it.
We digress. As far as fighters goes, the cast of Goldmember, they're bringing kung fu. They're bringing guns. They're bringing limited time travel. They're bringing spy movie hijinks.
I feel like that is a lot of firepower. But Teen Wolf 2 does have an actual werewolf.
Yeah.
Who is in control of his body. It's not one of these like turn into a werewolf, go nuts. It's not like an American werewolf in London werewolf where you're like running through the streets of London just eating people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a boxer.
Which would be a boon on Fight Island, I think,
there'd be a plus and a minus, like a wild killer wolf.
It's a mixed bag.
But this is Jason Bateman fully in control of his werewolfness, who is also a boxer. He's got training as a fighter.
Is true. As opposed to in the first Teen Wolf. Yeah, he was just basketball, and it was also
it's
like high school.
It's so funny that it's basketball.
This guy, it's also
what a
funny.
What a thing where being a werewolf of all the sports would not help. Like, it would help in football. It would help in wrestling. It'd help in any combat thing.
Come on.
You might as well have him play tennis. Would help.
Basketball, the jumping, he really could dunk it. The Teen Wolf.
That is truth.
I'm trying to work this into my stand-up routine, and this will also give you a window into how bad my stand-up routine is. The plot of the original Teen Wolf, what sort of bothered me 20 years later is that, like, there's no national news coverage of the werewolf.
Yeah.
Nobody's curious about this, like, phenomenon. Like, this, like, European folktale come true.
Truly.
Nobody cares. Which of course is what I love about the movie.
Which would have global implications. You would think werewolves.
It doesn't matter how small the town was. If there was a werewolf like in the smallest, if Truth and Consequences, New Mexico, if someone turns into a werewolf today, we're hearing about it tomorrow.
Yeah. TMZ is there tonight.
And like he would not.
A basketball playing werewolf did what?
And it's height of the Cold War. America would grab that werewolf and try to make more of him. It would absolutely happen.
Interesting.
We have to beat the Russians in the cryptoid race.
Anyway, none of that actually.
Anyway,
none of
that happened. So we have a boxer, a trained boxer who is a werewolf against the spies and all their gadgets. I think it's kind of even.
Powerful.
I think one on one, Teen Wolf 2 is going to win any battle, and that Austin Powers' only chance is if they can work together. Like if Fat Bastard can sit on him while like Austin gets like some kind of gimmick.
It's going to rely on some kind of gadget where it's like, the silver bulletron man, or they'll have to do some like overly complex, like they have to shrink Austin down and put him in a silver bullet and then into a glove that like Beyonce has to wear
or
to punch.
Austin Powers seduces Teen Wolf and fucks him into a state of emotional vulnerability and then poisons
him. State of receptiveness.
I mean, he's charming, right? That's one of his other powers. Is he's like a ladies' man? He's like
he is charming.
He's a Lothario,
but he is never he is not woke. He was never implied to have a fluid sexuality. I don't think he would try to.
Oh, I think, but he was swinging London, right?
He was a swinger. Werewolf. I could see werewolf. I could see Austin Powers being like, well, I've shagged a werewolf too.
He's not woke. He would be like, I'm not gay, but I would fuck Mick Jagger.
Swinging 60s. Sure.
I think Austin Powers comes out 10 years later. There's a lot more jokes that are like who he's been in threesomes with and stuff. I think there's more of that stuff.
Sure. I think you're right.
He'd be down with have a night with a werewolf, I think. Especially if it's to help England.
I think you're right. Oh, if he's doing it for... If you can attach
If it's to help the Queen.
level of jingoism.
He'll
to
go
it,
down on the werewolf. Absolutely. He'll let the he'll be a bottom for the werewolf. Whatever it
it's
takes.
For the queen. And then you see his head disappear.
It's a full moon, baby. Yeah, you get it.
But I think it's more love. He'll like charm and seduce. Yeah. Teen Wolf 2.
I could see that too. And also Teen Wolf 2, this is a young Jason Bateman. He is at the start of this movie. First of all, it is equally insane that this has to do with college boxing. What?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The sport that everyone is concerned with.
Yeah, we gotta heighten everything. It's college, not high school. Jason Bateman, not Michael J. Fox, and it's boxing, not basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was another Teen Wolf, it would have been like grad school, javelin, for the Olympics.
That is an interesting wrinkle because he is at heart kind of an awkward college kid. That is the B plot to Teen Wolf 2. For those of you who haven't seen it, he's kind of looking for love and respect, in all the wolf places. I think that he would be susceptible to the charms of fucking
also,
Austin Powers.
Fembots. They could whip out a fembot.
Fembots. Yeah. This kid doesn't
got machine gun. Jubblies, put the silver bullet in the gun boobs.
Yeah. Interesting. I think either Beyonce or Austin charm him into a love state, and that's how they
truly
tame the savage beast.
As it were. Is that a vote for...
Yeah, I vote for Austin Powers because of his lovemaking skills.
The powers. I think that makes sense. And I can see it, too. I can see this kind of burly, terrifying Jason Bateman, very snarlsome, and then, like, Austin's like, there's only one way to take care of this. Yeah, exactly. And then they all come out, you know, and all of a sudden the werewolf's dancing and then wham, dart in the neck. I see it.
I'll vote in opposition just for fun. I'm not super convinced, but Teen Wolf 2, the uncle is also a werewolf. So we've got two wolves.
That's true. And it's a return of the same guy.
He's back. The same guy is back.
Plays Scott's dad.
And so there's at least two wolves. And like Mini-Me gets eaten.
Yes,
for
Mini
sure.
Me gets devoured.
Oh yeah,
Mini-Me's
going down for sure. He's pretty bad.
Immediately,
I think Fat Bastard's going to go down because he won't be able to outrun him, and you know.
Yeah, and he's just a meal at that point.
One on one, none of these people are a match for a fully in control lycanthrope, as Will pointed out. This
one on one, Teen Wolf 2 will take any of them toe to toe.
And I like the idea of, you know how they end up on that space station? Then it becomes like a space station horror movie of two wolves.
Okay.
Kind of.
Tale of two wolves.
Yeah. Chasing the different Austin Powers members around the space station and eating them.
The uncle is there. We're also forgetting Styles. Isn't there some version
is
of Styles
back?
In
I
this
think
one?
There's like a different guy.
Yeah. I think
back.
It's like his cousin, like
Styles
Samantha
analog.
Styles 2.
Something.
Yeah.
Styles 2.
Theoretically, he's got some connection to the Teen Wolf 1 character. Like, he's not in the movie, but
shit, he could
he's
call
in the universe.
In.
You know, I assume he's like playing for Georgetown somewhere. Okay.
He's not in the movie, though.
Okay.
He's not part of the cast of Teen Wolf 2.
Okay, yeah.
But that doesn't, that doesn't count them out. We're still talking about supernatural, like, bloodthirsty fucking. I think the only thing, Sam, you're saying that the werewolves would take it.
That there's technically two wolves, and I just think, like, I like it better if there's a certain horror movie element to it.
Yeah, I guess like if Austin Powers seduces Jason Bateman's character, the uncle might be too mature to fall for such things.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've seen this before, Austin. Yeah. I saw the first two films, Austin.
Well, yeah, that's
Austin
Powers 3,
yeah,
big trip
the hardware
up.
Store.
He lets everyone know about
Austin
Powers.
Seduce me for deals, and I don't let it happen.
All the time. You got to shut it down. I guess it's time we had a talk, huh?
Okay, that's my vote. It's Teen Wolf 2.
Okay. Here's the thing. Love it when it comes down to me. Love this. There's been one thing that's been sticking in my craw that I think is going to stop the Teen Wolves from taking it. And it's those gloves. They're wearing boxing gloves.
Mm.
And they are at their very hearts boxers, thus hampering the full wolfing out ability.
No claws.
And he never does it. He never does it.
Yeah.
He never goes like, a teen wolf. That movie, again, talk about a movie that should be 15 minutes long. He gets on the court with all those other kids. It's a bloodbath. You put him in the ring. with this guy who's been a jerk to him. He tears his throat out. Fight's over.
Yeah. You know? Also, like, his bullies are on the team. You would eat your bullies. You would 100% eat. Why would you even hesitate?
But he doesn't, because at the end of the day, that part that allows Scott, what's his name in the second one? Is it Todd. Scott again?
Todd Howard.
Todd.
I'm just looking on the Wikipedia page. I did not remember that.
Todd Howard. The thing that allows him to be such a great champion is the movie. Is it a sports movie?
I think they're both technically sports movies. They have like sports movie crescendos.
You're right. Is his humanity. And I think it's that humanity that's going to hold him back and stop him from winning this fight on Fight Island, because Austin and the gang, they play for keeps. Mm-hmm. They're coming. There's nothing holding them back. They're going to develop some kind of it's a sunlight beam, man. It'll turn you back into like a man from a werewolf. I'm giving it to where Austin Powers. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
Smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Will.
I'm strangely okay with it.
Okay.
I real quick, the two mm-hmm. terrible sequels that I just wanted to okay. in retrospect that we didn't get to are The Two Jakes and The Mummy 3. Those also would have been really stupid.
Oh, The Two Jakes is a true lightweight sequel.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
That's the Chinatown sequel, but Nicholson's in it, I think.
Nicholson's in it, but it happens like they made it like 12 years later so that like Robert Evans could buy his house back. Crazy. It's like a very weird story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Robert Evans had like lost his house up his nose, and they were like, well, let's throw him a bone. And they
got addicted to Vicks and hitters.
Yeah.
I've seen it a thousand times. Classic Hollywood. Okay.
Anyway.
Middleweight sequels. We're kind of in that zone where I almost, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is kind of.
I got to interrupt. Do you ever just for fun read on the Wikipedia page for a movie? The reception section.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just to see like when they, so here's the Teen Wolf 2 reception section. Teen Wolf 2 received near universally negative reviews from critics. The film holds a 7% rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 15 reviews.
Holy
on Metacritic,
shit.
The film has an 8 out of 100 rating based on 5 critics, indicating overwhelming dislike.
Whoa.
On their show, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert specifically gave the film 2 emphatic thumbs down.
Dang. Now I feel like we underestimated it. It stinks so bad.
Some of that anger, some of that might be resentment of the characters. Yeah. Well,
maybe there's a post-credits scene here. Maybe we see
a
broken and battered Todd Howard in his dorm, back in his dorm, reading this Rotten Tomatoes review.
Might watch this movie today. I've never seen it.
I'm thinking about it.
I was also thinking about doing that.
I love Teen Wolf, the first one, so much.
Me too.
And you should watch it too, listener. It's great. Doesn't that
Will
dude
heads,
get his
I'm
wiener
sure you've
out
already been on it. Yeah, some dude's got his wiener at the end of Teen Wolf, but it's not very obvious. Like once you know that little Easter egg,
it's tasteful.
You can see it, but it's like a blurry. You just see a blurry like pink section.
You know,
you're
like
oh,
you
I would, guess I guess that's his dick is what you
like how you would do in a wedding photo.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, middleweight sequels. And for me, a middleweight is like a sequel that I'm going to go see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still disappointing, you know. I think we're still in the disappointment era of sequel because I think there are so few sequels that stand up to or exceed even the previous one. And I think that's got to be our heavyweights.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So who are you thinking for middleweights?
I'll throw out, because it's had so many sequels, but I like this one specifically, is Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol.
Okay.
I also just like saying Ghost Protocol.
The franchise is so big that it's hard for me to think of any of them as middleweight. You're talking about Ghost Protocol?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, maybe it is middleweight.
I do like a pause for Ghost Protocol. Wait, Ghost Protocol.
Just because that name was so insane.
Yeah.
It kind of single-handedly undermined the whole movie.
It really did.
Fallout
is cool.
Brad Bird directed that one. That's the one where he's running down the side of the building in Dubai or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. The Burj.
Yeah. That one's great. And Mission Impossible 3 is just called Mission Impossible 3, but that's the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's great.
What was the one where a guy developed a disease called Chimera?
I don't know.
That wasn't...
For a franchise I love, I know no details.
Yeah, I can barely remember any of the plots of any of the movies.
I think
a couple of sequences. You know, From the first one, I remember him hanging by the ropes. That's like an iconic image. And then I can remember, and then him hanging to the side of the plane, which I think is 5.
Yeah. Yes.
And then that's kind of it.
Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation. Okay. And here's the thing.
Can we set Ghost Protocol verse Rogue Nation like some weird like duplicate character?
Holy shit, we'd go insane.
We absolutely
could, but that is a good way.
Our brains would break.
Trapped on the island for sure.
Yeah.
Boy, that might be
two
genius.
Ethan Hunts.
Should we do like Alien 2 versus Alien 3 or something?
I don't know, man. We're going to be splitting hairs. Right.
So we'll say Ghost Protocol is one middleweight.
I like that.
Okay, versus...
Now, here's one that I'm going to throw
Police
out.
Police Academy 2? Oh, go ahead.
Police Academy 2 is huge. I love that. That's a great one. Perfect middleweight, too, because it is like... Police Academy 2 was when the Police Academy movies were still in the theaters, and B, you could still like... reasonably tell your friends like, hey, let's go like smoke a joint and watch.
Yeah, it'd be
Police
like
Academy
you could sell
movie.
That to your. It's like this will be dumb fun.
Yeah.
Major League 2, is that a middleweight one?
Perfect. Good God.
Ghostbusters 2, too good.
Ghostbusters 2 is a heavyweight for me.
Okay.
I think that is in
there. Yeah, because Ghostbusters is so massive.
Huge. Mm-hmm. I think Major League 2 versus
Police Academy 2?
Police Academy 2 is right where it needs to be. That might be it.
Ben Wilder 2, Rise of Taj?
That's got to be a lightweight. That's a lightweight.
That is lightweight.
Mission Impossible, Rise of Taj is the one I'm excited for. I think that's going to be really good.
They never should have done it. It's too powerful.
How about, I know you sound like you're already set, Jordan, but I just want to pitch another one.
Please.
How about Harold and Kumar go to Guantanamo Bay, sequel to White Castle?
Which I've actually seen that one and have not seen Police Academy.
Okay.
I've not seen any Police Academy.
Also, a hilariously unnecessary sequel that I think everybody went to.
Yeah, because White Castle was great.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Okay.
Here's a little side note. This is something that my brother pointed out to me, my brother Kevin, just saying it for the Willheads. The Willheads will like the reference to my brother.
They know Kevin.
You guys don't, but the Willheads are big time up on my family dynamics.
Hell yeah.
So the guy who did Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle and Guantanamo Bay also did Dude, Where's My Car?
Yes.
In the late 90s, which is famous, if only for the title. But it's similarly like really like supernatural and stuff gets really out of control. Did you know there was a proposed sequel to Dude, Where's My Car that did not happen? But it's like in IMDb as a potential... production halted, and it has the best title for a sequel that I've ever seen. I want you to guess.
Guantanamo Bay?
Nope.
Dude. Shit. Something like Dude
Wends My Car, and it's a time
pretty
travel
good,
movie.
Pretty good.
Oh, okay. My God.
Pretty good.
That's good.
That's not it, but I do like that.
Something like Dudes Wears My Car.
That's fun.
Or... Dudes, Where's My Car-er-er?
That's pretty good. No, the answer is, seriously, dude, where's my car? Which is like funny, right?
That's so funny.
It's like the
Fuck,
best.
That's good.
I wish it was made just so that could be on movie posters.
Yeah.
It also implies that nothing happens in the first one.
Truly,
like you're right back to zero.
My girlfriend loves Dude, Where's My Car? That's like one of her like comfort movies because it's
very funny.
She can just zone out and be high or whatever. And like we would have a poster for Seriously, Dude, Where's My Car in our apartment. That's what I'm missing now, and it may have it made.
Happen. That should happen.
All right. Well,
but I mean,
make it happen, Willheads.
Make it happen.
Hey, if you sign up for the Patreon, that's what it's going toward.
Well, I mean, Ashton Kutcher has retired and Sean William Scott disappeared in the jungle, right?
Yeah. Oh, American Pie 2 is also one we could do.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
That's pretty
middleweight. Honestly, I think we've got it with Harold and Kumar.
Guantanamo Bay.
Go to Guantanamo Bay versus what was the other one?
Major League 2.
Have you seen it, Sam?
I have not, but I can roll with it.
Okay, well, we can't. No. We got to put something else in there. Okay, Guantanamo Bay versus what do you got? Middleweight.
What did I just? Oh, I was going to say Wayne's World 2, which is a great one, but really Mike Myers heavy. Is that too much?
Yeah, but that's also, I think, a heavyweight. Wayne's World 2 is notoriously like as good as Wayne's World 1.
Yeah.
If not better. What about
Rocky 4?
Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future 2. Let's do that.
3.
Okay, 2 and 3 filmed at the same time, so either
two,
one is
two
fine
is
with me.
2 is a better movie, I think, and I think it's a middleweight.
Incorrect, but I'm okay with going with 2.
You
three
like
is
the cowboy
superior.
Shit?
It's the better movie. Watch them again, I'll tell you.
All right.
I'll tell you. Okay, so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Back to the Future 2 and Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo Bay? Now. So, Doc and Marty, they got a time machine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a big plus.
They got the almanac. They got tech from the future. They got a hoverboard. You know, Griff is there. Remember Griff? He's like a Cyberman.
Mm-hmm.
But as Will mentioned earlier, Harold and Kumar decidedly wackier. You could, in the Harold and Kumar universe, the extended HKU, you could potentially drop a piano on someone, you know?
Their superpower is slip sliding out of circumstances.
Absolutely. And I don't care how many time machines you got. You, you know, seal a man in a fish tank and drop him down the stairs or whatever Harold and Kumar are up to. That's going to mess a fella up.
And Harold and Kumar, to put it another way, one of their weapons is just the surreal world they bring with them. Like a mostly sentient cougar could like show up and like kind of get in the mix. And that cougar seems to know who the good guys and bad guys are and stuff. And
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Himself.
Yeah. A noted loose cannon in the universe. He could show up.
What a weird
like
re-entry
weird
point
bikers.
For him into Hollywood that totally worked.
Totally worked.
God, it was funny.
Isn't that crazy?
I remember being in the theater and just loving it so much that he was on there as a coked up maniac.
Yeah.
Calling himself Neil Patrick Harris. It's like, this dude is funny.
It was genius. Yeah. It was genius.
And then he became a great big giant star again.
It's
insane.
That for sure was his like relaunch. That was the time. That was the first time that I retook notice of him since, you know, it's Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
Doogie Howser is crazy, by the way. Jordan, did you see when Joe Quazzola was just posting clips of Doogie Howser where like adult women are like fake seducing him to get him to do stuff? And he's like a 13-year-old. And there's
gay kid.
Yeah. And like, it's very weird and pervy. Yeah. And like, that show is like awful. Anyway.
Yeah. Very little of the past holds up there, Sammy boy.
it's much more a 35-year-old woman trying to fuck a 13-year-old boy than you think it's going to be. That's what I'm saying. Is it's like it's worse than someone being like, vaguely racist or whatever.
Go back and just lightly brush upon Quantum Leap sometime. I give you 4 episodes before Sam Beckett is impersonating someone he should not be impersonating.
Oh, like racially or something like that?
All of it. There's one like where he plays a handicapped kid, and it's you're really leaning into this role, huh, Bakula?
The 80s and 90s were really big on just like, there's no such thing as problematic sex in like their, like for big, you know, Tom Hanks is a, you know, 12-year-old in an adult's body, has sex with somebody.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds, you know, it's the famous sex one. You know, when he's disguised and the woman thinks she's having sex with their boyfriend.
Having sex with Darth Vader.
But he's so good at eating her out that she doesn't mind. Right? That's what happens in that movie.
I think so.
And sex is just good times. If all sex is happening, it's not. So if somebody's trying to seduce Doogie Howser, hey man, that's just laughs.
Yeah. Hey, listen, this is why you got into being a doctor, Doogie.
At 13,
we see the way you're dressed. I guess lab coat, etc.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, look how he's
all
dressed,
sterilized.
All sterilized, genius. With your head full of plump. Wait, delicious what are the two knowledge. Were, now I'm kind of talking about eating Doogie's brain, and I'm I don't know what's happening. The
so Harold and Guantanamo. Guantanamo versus
Kumar.
Versus
what's Back to one? The Future 2.
Back okay. to Future 2.
Now, Back to Future 2, also okay. famously, yeah. The Darkest Timeline, the Griff Universe.
The one Biff we live universe. In now.
Yeah. The one where Biff gets the almanac and marries Lorraine and has like a weird Biff museum in Vegas.
He does have a weird Biff museum. I totally forgot about that.
He's like wicked Donald Trump. He's
as opposed to the good one we love.
Correctly predicts Florida Marlins winning the World Series, which is one of the strangest things about that movie.
Yeah. That's tricky.
Crazy. A team that did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Wackadoo.
Okay, but Harold and Kumar do have drugs on their side. Like they, I assume, are going to be stoned and therefore very calm.
They're baked.
And they also could theoretically get Marty and Doc baked, like, slow down some of Doc's ambition. Yeah. You know, maybe he'll just be content to chill out. And
you know, Marty's here for it, or maybe not. Marty has that kind of squeaky clean '80s, like, "Hey, listen, Doc, drugs are for losers."
It could be peer pressure. He also seems to have almost no willpower, and like he almost fucked his mom. I think like he could be talked into stuff.
Wait, what was that one part? you could call him a chicken.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you call him a chicken, that thing that got created in the sequels. No hint of it at all in the first movie, but super a big part of 2 and 3.
Right in the start of 2 as well. Chekhov's chicken.
Also, in terms of Biff, Harold and Kumar, that's a perfect guy that they can really sidestep. I don't even think Biff is a consideration.
Biff is
because
a
clown. That's the kind of guy they Harold and Kumar subvert is a Biff.
And Griff, the upgraded, chipped out version.
Yeah, Super Biff. Yeah,
are both too cartoonish to withstand Harold and Kumar. Harold and Kumar are the roadrunner to their coyote. You know, they're gonna give them the slip. They'll clown those dudes so hard right out of the gate, which takes care of them. I think you're right that you call Marty a chicken. He's off the board. He'll do whatever.
Yeah, he's easy. So it's really, can Doc do it?
Can Doc do it? And
he's pretty capable.
I think he can. I think at the end of the day, Doc Brown does not suffer fools.
I mean, he invented time travel.
Yeah.
He beat the Libyans. He knew to have faith in Marty when no one else had faith in him, and he made the right call there.
This is true.
What would Doc make of Neil Patrick Harris? That's kind of what's coming down to in my mind. It's like, can Doc handle this, like, true
I think that's the real battle. Maniac. I think Harold and Kumar and Marty are awash.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris versus Doc is the real is question the mark.
Lightning flashing.
Neil Patrick Harris, he's got range. He's willing to make fun of himself.
Absolutely.
He can, you know, he's a romantic lead to all genders.
Doc is wily. He's inventive.
Mm-hmm.
He's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You know, remember
Neil Patrick Harris though isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He'll play evil. He'll play smarmy.
Sure, truth.
He'll play the fool. You know, or the hero, whatever is required.
This definitely takes place on top of the clock tower building. Mm-hmm. Lightning crashing all around. Yeah. And we know that lightning strikes that clock tower building. I don't know. Just with the circumstances that are built in every single one of the Back to the Future movies, they do such a good job of layering, like lasagnaing stakes and then toppling them all at once. I think Doc pulls it off in the last second using the lightning bolt that he knows, he and he alone knows will strike this clock tower.
I disagree. I'm going to take Neil Patrick Harris and therefore the Guantanamo Bay universe because the Harold and Kumar, the HKU, as you said, because he's just got too many weapons. He's got drama. He could he's got comedy. He's got musical theater. Mm-hmm. He's got dance.
Sure.
He's got he's the ability to go meta might be the thing that'll let him defeat Doc Brown. Doc Brown still doesn't know he's a character in a movie, but Neil Patrick Harris definitely does.
Doc Brown knows where that lightning bolt will strike and throws Neil Patrick in front of it. Kazap! Oh, I've done it, Marty! I'm giving mine to Back to the Future 2. Sam, you're the tiebreaker, okay. I'm afraid.
I think, man. Okay, here's what I think happens. It seems like the Herald, the HKU has won, but they're all pretty high. Doc comes back from just like a moderate amount of time travel, and they're so high that their heads explode from just seeing a guy time travel.
From seeing,
they truly can't handle it. They've had all these insane circumstances, and then it's literal time travel, and sure, they can't survive it. They're the first people ever to die from being high.
Pops their noggins. You're giving
voting
it to
voting Back to the Future. Yeah,
Back to all the right. Future. Ding ding ding! Takes it. The HKU, a complete head explosion.
Mm-hmm.
From being baked, which is not how weed works, but Sam, that's fine. That's the most Midwest thing about you is you're kind of a narc.
Yeah.
I'm a cop. It's pronounced cop.
Where I'm from, it's pronounced cop. Wow. Okay. Honestly, I thought you were going to give it to the HKU. He blew minds. But Doc Brown.
And time travel is a pretty good power. It's really hard to combat.
Pretty good. He's a bit of a time god. Remember at the end of Back to the Future 3, the best one, where
is it?
Doc shows up.
Such a weird hill to die on.
I've only seen 2 and 3 once each. I barely remember them.
I watched them all multiple times, and recently I came to the realization that I think the third one is the best one.
Does Zemeckis direct them all?
I don't know, but I want to say yes. I want to say yes. At the end of the third one, he shows up in a time train with his sons, Jules and Vern.
Okay.
That does sound like the best one.
Mm.
Heavyweight.
Best part of the second one was the rehydrated pizza.
Don't remember that.
Rehydrated pizza. The guy
heavyweight bout
puts it into the microwave.
Heavyweight bout time,
and it turns into a great big pizza. Okay, the fight that people have been waiting for all year. It's now July. People have been champing at the bit for this one, going nuts. The heavyweight sequel fight. Who are you bringing? What are the most heavyweight sequels? I want to talk about Oscar winners. I want to talk about friggin' Cinderella stories.
Terminator 2.
Okay. Maybe a perfect movie.
Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that's a pretty heavyweight sequel.
Incredible sequel.
Batman Returns, the Tim Burton.
Great movie.
Definitely a big, big franchise sequel.
Danny DeVito as the Penguin. My God, he'll bite your nose off.
Yeah.
Literal animal. I'm going to say Wayne's World 2. Wayne's World 2, I think, was better than Wayne's World. It's got, if you bring the cast of Wayne's World 2 to a fight, you're getting Aerosmith. You're getting a dinosaur from Jurassic Park. You're getting Agent Doggett from Terminator 2 as the liquid metal Terminator. You're getting, oh, damn it, I almost remembered his name, Kevin Pollock.
Oh, one of our country's greatest fighters, Kevin Pollock. Godfather
okay, so
2,
Wayne's
Rocky
World
2. 4.
Oh, yeah. Well, Godfather 2 is certainly a heavyweight sequel. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Did you know that they were planning a sequel to Forrest Gump called Forrest and Me?
No, I didn't know that.
Ugh.
No, there's Zemeckis. How about Beverly Hills Cop 2? That was a big movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one.
Heater.
That's fun.
Oh, Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Massive. That's
massive.
How about Wayne's World 2 versus Ghostbusters 2?
Oof, I like that.
I like that. Ghostbusters 2 versus Terminator 2 is the other, I think, also a solid.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
We're
Ghostbusters getting versus the Terminators? Come
yeah,
on.
We're getting some real mix-up of
all right,
fighting
okay.
styles.
Universes collide. Unless anybody opposes this, I'm going to lock it in.
I have no opinions.
Okay.
Will heads know. I have no opinions.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking specifically about Ghostbusters 2 versus Terminator 2. Gentlemen, try to keep it in the universes, please. The question before us is who would win in a fight between Ghostbusters 2 and I forgot it already. What was it?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Judgment Day.
get some judgment from me today.
All right. Well, first we got to talk about Slimer. Slimer's involved, mm-hmm. and I feel like he's going to eat any food that's around.
Mm-hmm.
Vigo is maybe part of this.
Vigo.
I think Bobby Brown will be on the Ghostbusters too, just because he sang the theme song. I feel like he's allowed to be involved.
No, he lives in that universe.
Wait. Did he sing the Ghostbusters 2 theme song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did the original one that they got sued for?
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Ray Parker Jr. did the original. That song is way bigger than Bobby Brown's song, but Bobby Brown as a fighter would be better than Ray Parker Jr.
Unfortunately, yeah. Also, Bobby Brown, what was the Ghostbusters 2
In Control.
Song?
Got my Ghostbusters, they're in control. Talk about Vigo. You gonna battle my boys? That's not legal. He rhymed legal and Vigo.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Incredible. There was a weird...
That was one of my first ka-singles was the Ghostbusters 2
Incredible.
That's a great ka-single.
One of mine was Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams.
That feels very Ghostbusters. Billy Ocean does for some reason.
Does, right? Yeah. Kind of upbeat.
It feels like the logical sequel to to that Your Love song. Higher, whatever.
Perhaps the greatest song ever written.
Your Love?
Your Love lifting me higher.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
It's a different
one. It brought the
Statue of Liberty to life. The big Statue of Liberty is in this fight.
Oh, wow. That's true.
That's a powerful fighter. Is that cast?
We do have two Terminators, right? We have good Terminator and bad Liquid Metal Terminator who are united in this battle.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor, who's united in this battle.
She doesn't die.
We get a glimpse of the dark future. So I'm thinking, you know, we could have some of those flying robots here. We got the dude. No, he dies in the first one.
The leader of the rebellion dies.
Leader of the resistance, John Connor, played by Sam.
Cary Grant? I don't know.
Cary Grant? You're talking about the kid?
I just panicked.
I'm here about a robot.
I'm a kid now.
I'm a kid. No, his name is, oh God, he's like he was a child actor. He fell on hard times. He's got a very, once I know it, you'll...
Also, I just want to say Zemeckis directed all three Back to the Futures and the same screenwriters and same producers. They had the same team for all three.
Edward Furlong.
Yeah. He's
on that motorcycle. Bobby Budnick from Salute Your Shorts is there on his motorcycle. They're a couple of streetwise kids, but at the end of the day, can they defeat? I mean, we're talking about...
Strongest fighters. Two Terminators, Vigo...
Talk about Vigo.
The Ghostbusters themselves are not even a huge part of this.
But they have
Statue of Liberty.
Blasters. It's a fucking proton blaster. It's a laser gun for all intents and purposes. They cross the streams. They're splitting dimensions.
Yeah. Yeah, and they could open some portal to send Terminators back whence they came.
I'm sure Egon's been working on some kind of fucking containment system.
Okay, I'm gonna early vote for Ghostbusters because I think Egon knows about Terminators. I think he has scientifically figured out Terminators. I think he's the brains of this. I don't think the Terminators are thinkers. They're Terminators. They terminate. They don't think.
I'm gonna vote in opposition to you because I don't think Egon knows Terminators. I think Egon
he
knows ghosts. I think Egon has a book of ghosts, and I think there's literally a scene where Egon's like, I don't know Terminators. I know ghosts, Pete, or something like that. And I think they blow it, and then we have another Terminator movie where they have to clean up after him. which leaves Will Hines, our guest, to break the tie. Who wins? Ghostbusters or Terminator?
I think it comes down to, is Bill Murray charming enough to defeat Sarah Connor's increasingly muscular body?
God.
Can he be aloof in the face of termination?
Can he still be like a wise, can he say something like, love you, babe, to the Terminator as he's getting his like clavicle snapped in half?
Of course he can.
Versus can Sarah Connor just be so resilient and strong and fearless that she'll just like gut punch the Statue of Liberty in the balls? Or
she
sorry,
can.
In the this in the vajige, in the vajuge.
Is she getting proton packed and like, this doesn't impact me, I'm a mother.
But I feel like she would like steal the proton pack. Like she's a survivor.
Yeah.
She
would, yeah. Ugh, one in both hands. Yeah, I can yeah. see that. That's on your poster.
Double
right
fisting, like, I'll cross my own streams.
With a, oh, and she crosses them herself. Ah! Incredible.
That scene that doesn't exist rules. Good job.
Defeating all of them. Takes
the liquid metal Terminator would give Dan Aykroyd a blowjob and distract him for a while.
There are moments of comedy. There's definitely moments of comedy.
Just like the Ghostbusters. It's a perfect blend, this fight.
I'm going to go Terminator. I think Sarah Connor's resilience and liquid metal dude are going to be a pretty fearsome
combo.
Huge
advantage. It's just, it's tech that the Ghostbusters, you know, even though the Ghostbusters are in this kind of sci-fi fantasy universe, they were never trained to deal with this.
Yeah, they're just going to be, they're going to be.
A big weapon with Ghostbusters is like Slimer runs through someone and you're like, yuck. That's not gonna happen.
Oh
like
yeah, they'll definitely
machine.
Gross out the Terminator guys. Like they'll get covered in slime and it'll be like annoying, but then like liquid metal dude is gonna like rip up through the small intestine of Dan Aykroyd and like explode him from the inside.
Oh,
and it's over.
God, totally. Yeah, you're just gonna get killed by Terminators that are covered in slime is what's gonna happen.
Slightly gross Terminators will be your death.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The Terminators aren't really affected by vibes. It doesn't really happen.
Totally, totally. Ding ding ding. The Terminators take it. T2 Judgment Day. Will, thank you so much for joining us here on Fight Island.
My pleasure.
Where
I'm glad to have survived.
It was a close one. Where can people find you on the web?
So why don't y'all go to my Instagram? You Willheads, you know this. It's Willie B. Hines on Instagram because I promote most. That's a good clearinghouse for Will Hines Enterprises.
Absolutely.
Most things that are worth plugging get plugged there. So why don't you start there on your exploration of my dumb creative life?
Yeah. I can also recommend Will's Twitter presence consistently cracks me up. So go follow him there.
Yeah. It's all lies. It's all fake brags. but it's funny. Enjoyable.
Sam, how about you? What are you up to these days?
You can find me lying on Twitter at @VoteSamWiles and join our Patreon. $4 a month. You get a couple bonus episodes a month. It's and you support the pod and pay for, you know, crime scene cleanup or whatever Fight Island needs.
Yeah, to nurse our wounds from the fights
Jordan needs nasal spray.
I need nasal spray. I need a class to remember the name of that movie, Terminator 2. I got there. All right, guys, that does it for this particular episode of Fight Island. I, of course, can be found everywhere. They'll let me be Razor Lou on the internet. And I'm on TikTok now. Yikes. Fuck. That place. Uh-oh.
You're doing all the dances.
Once you're in there, it's even worse. I got to go work on my dances or they'll notice and take me down. That does it for this episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
3, 2, 1.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.